You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The NFC North and the rest of the conference did the Chicago Bears some favors while they were off on their bye week. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today's podcast is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. On the show today, we'll take a little look around the NFL and what led to losses by the Packers, Vikings, and Lions that only helped the Chicago Bears, as well as the implications of the Monday night football game on the playoff standings, where the Bears just find themselves on the outside looking in. Then we'll take stock of just where this Bears team will stand in the offseason. We'll look at some of the biggest projected needs, some of the free agents on their own team they still have to deal with, as well as potential top targets and the draft capital this team will bring into next year, as far as all the different dynamics that we can just have a little early look ahead to what this offseason is going to bring. Right now, the Chicago Bears are not a team that should really be talking about the playoffs. That's a little bit too far in front of them after losing four games in a row. But still at 5-5, they're still going to appear on all of the graphics, you know, in the hunt, in the mix, that sort of cliche of they're not currently one of the seven projected playoff teams if the season ended today, but they're close enough that they remain in that conversation despite the devastating losses and rather embarrassing performances we've seen from them over the last few weeks. And so they have a long way to go before they'll be taken seriously as a even as a playoff team. But they got a little bit of help in that pursuit this weekend as all three of their divisional opponents lost and also saw a little bit of help in terms of other teams in this playoff discussion also losing. So it started on Thursday night, really, with the Seattle Seahawks beating the Arizona Cardinals, because right now the Cardinals are the seventh seed. Technically, we still have to wait to see exactly what happens between the Buccaneers and Rams tonight for Monday Night Football. That could rearrange a little bit of the order, but what isn't going to change is that the Bears are going to remain at number eight here out of the seven playoff spots. The Buccaneers could move down or up depending on what happens in their game and their situation, but otherwise it is the Bears at 5-5, potentially nearing a game out of this wild card spot. So the Green Bay Packers are going to be a tough first opponent to play off of this bye week, trying to get the Bears' losing streak to end and get that next win to be back in this playoff conversation. Because the Packers themselves are coming off of a tough, disappointing loss to the Indianapolis Colts, really. A pretty drastic second-half collapse by Aaron Rodgers and company. They scored three touchdowns in the second quarter, enjoyed a nice little halftime lead, but then the whole Packers offense just disappeared in the second half, and yet most Packers fans seem to be almost more upset with their defense, allowing 17 second-half points and ultimately going into overtime. The Packers blew the lead completely, and then it took a last-second Aaron Rodgers field goal with 3 seconds left to even send it into overtime before the Colts ended up hitting the game winner there. So they're going to be pissed off. This is not going to be a happy Green Bay Packers team, a Packers team looking to bounce back, needing to right their ship a little bit after pretty well crapping the bed in Indianapolis. And we saw this Bears team struggle with Indianapolis firsthand early in the season. That was the Bears' first loss. So Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers will have no shortage of motivation against the Bears, and we've seen how Aaron Rodgers has done in some of those situations in the past, let alone in Chicago. So it's going to be a tough first matchup there. But at least we saw the Bears get some help from the Vikings and Lions, both losing in some difficult fashions. The Lions getting completely blanked by the Carolina Panthers and their backup quarterback. That team continues to be a mess. And at least that bodes well for the Bears in terms of the rest of their schedule. They do have the Lions on there one more time and should be fairly, I mean, if they're going to play that poorly against the Panthers, you'd think that's when we can feel a little bit more confident about penciling in a W for the Bears at some point on their schedule. But the Vikings game might make you feel a little bit worse from this week just because the Vikings played a Dallas Cowboys team that has still their backup quarterback, Andy Dalton, and they're really banged up on the offensive line, not unlike the Chicago Bears. Not to the extent that we've seen the Bears the last couple of weeks, but you know, when you're missing your top tackles and your starting center, they're starting, you know, Cameron Irving at left tackle. Their left guard is Connor Williams. Joe Looney filling in at center. Their third-round pick, Connor McGovern, playing right guard, and then they had to bump Zach Martin out to right tackle. It is not a full-strength Cowboys offensive line, a fairly banged-up Cowboys offensive line. And instead, they still protected Andy Dalton to only, he was only under pressure on four plays against the Vikings pass rush. We knew the Vikings pass rush was bad, but they were supposed to be bad against the Bears. Didn't have that much trouble with the Bears offensive line, and yet a backup Cowboys offensive line with a backup Cowboys quarterback still put up 31 points on this Vikings defense and was enough to escape with the victory. Then in the Monday night game with the Buccaneers and Rams, somebody's got to lose. So one of those teams is going to drop down to either 7-4 or 6-5 in the case of the Rams. The Rams still have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Chicago Bears. But regardless, one of the two teams in front of the Bears in the playoff rankings is also going to fall as a result of that game. So it's doing them some favors, doing some of the legwork that they can't control going in their favor. And it's all about, okay, try and pull something together against the Green Bay Packers and still possibly a chance to salvage this season. Really, no matter how the rest of the year plays out, the Bears are going to have some serious work to do in the offseason. So up next on Locked On Bears, I want to take a little peek ahead to some of the big decisions that lie ahead, both from a difficult financial scenario as well as some important team needs and limited draft capital to address them. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. You know, the offseason's really going to be a good time to kick off your 2021 on the right foot and get back in shape with our friends at Echelon. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and they're all new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. So no matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. And unlike many of their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's Echelon, echelonfit.com/NFL. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season is a strange one so far, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. I'm excited to see the Bears again in a primetime matchup. Hopefully it'll be a little bit less embarrassing in front of the national crowd, but don't worry. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi. Made for football watching. A lot is going to change between now and this upcoming offseason. And so I don't want to get too specific into any kind of like predictions or anything. It's just more so kind of laying out what challenges are ahead of the Bears. Like, technically, we don't know for sure who's going to be the head coach and general manager by the time February and March come around. I think most of us are still expecting it to be Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, but we don't know that for sure at this point, given the state of the team as of late. But what's not going to change is the NFL salary cap and where this contract situation stands at this point entering the offseason. And the NFL is sort of projecting a decrease in the cap for the first time in a long time, in some part because of reduced revenues due to COVID-19. It could be as many as a $23 million decrease in the salary cap, which is going to hurt every team, but may hurt teams like the Bears a little bit more, teams that have been pushing some of their salary cap responsibilities down the line into the future. It's the way Ryan Pace keeps finding moves to sign some of these players to long-term deals, because they kind of keep pushing back that guaranteed money and the cap hits further down in the year, so they kind of build up these bubbles down the line, expecting that the salary cap is just going to keep going up each and every year, as it has for like the last 10 in a row. But this year throws a little bit of a wrench in that, and the Bears are going to need to cut some salary space, even just to find room to re-sign their own guys, because Allen Robinson, still a projected free agent this offseason, no deal yet there. Trubisky obviously going to be a free agent after the Bears declined his fifth-year option. Cordell Patterson, Roy Robertson-Harris, Pat O'Donnell, Demetrius Harris, Deion Bush. I mean, from there, the quality of player starts to go down a little bit. Tashaun Gibson is one to keep an eye on. Also at cornerback, Artie Burns, we kind of forget he's even around on this roster. The kickers also going to be free agents. And some of just the key depth pieces at various spots along the roster. Brent Urban, Mario Edwards on the defensive line. John Jenkins there too. Barcavius Mingo at outside linebacker. Sherrick McManus, the yearly free agent there. On the offensive line, Jermaine Ifedi at right guard. That spot will open up once again. Alex Barrs, restricted free agent. Rashad Coward and Jason Spriggs as well. So there's going to be some movement and some change on this team, and not a lot of salary cap space to do anything about it. And that's not even including some of the other positions that just need to be upgraded, despite not having a huge free agent gap there. Like, you know, I think a lot of Bears fans would like to see two new starting tackles in Chicago next year, but both Leno and Bobby Massey are still under contract for the next couple of seasons. You could release one or both of them and perhaps save some money along the way, but then it's another starting spot that you have to fill. Plus, you may want to find another running back to add to this backfield, not a starter, but another rotational player there. Maybe another tight end with Demetrius Harris as a free agent, Jimmy Graham going to be old. You want somebody else to pair with Cole Kmet. Of course, quarterback, it remains a huge question mark on this team. Defensive line depth, you know, outside linebacker with those guys getting a little bit older. You might want some youth in the pass rush group. Cornerback, you're still sitting all right, but you're going to need a starting safety with Tashaun Gibson. So there's a lot going on this offseason. Not all of that has to be done in free agency, but the draft is going to be part of that conversation as well. Like, say you want to make a few moves to get rid of some guys and save some salary cap space. Let's say you want to cut Charles Leno and Bobby Massey. You could throw Jimmy Graham in there. I mean, you start getting up and you can save a good $20 million with some of those guys, and you could take some of the other long-term deals, the bigger long-term contracts, and push some of that signing bonus into the future. You know, Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, maybe Cody Whitehair in there as well, and do some of the cost-saving measures that we've seen the Bears do in the past to free up some space right now. But then you have so many holes at that point. If you're cutting both your tackles and Jermaine Ifedi as a free agent, that's three starting offensive linemen you have to sign. Plus, you have to figure out if you're going to pay Allen Robinson or put him on a franchise tag, as I think projected around $16 million for next year, but that can always fluctuate a little bit here and there, plus the quarterback spot. I mean, there is a lot on the plate for Ryan Pace or whoever this Bears general manager is going to be. I hesitate to spend much time looking at some of the players who are set to be free agents because, like every year, a lot of those players get re-signed before the actual start of free agency and then are no longer available to sign. But, you know, you peek at the quarterback spot, and the Dak Prescott conversation is one I think will be played out in the national media quite a bit. But other guys, You know, Philip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett are kind of your starting caliber guys. It's not a deep quarterback free agent class. Much more back to normal, unlike last year. There's also like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor, and Andy Dalton. Cam Newton will also be a free agent again on a one-year deal. Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, you know, and then the 49ers guys, C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, but not really a lot to write home about there. So some options, but any kind of free agent quarterback decision is going to be an expensive one with a lot of other positions the Bears need to address. The offensive tackle market is rather old, and that's how it tends to be. Really good young offensive tackles don't tend to become free agents. I mean, like Taylor Moten from the Carolina Panthers is one that should get a decent contract, a younger guy coming off of his rookie deal, I believe, at 27. But it's a lot of the older guys. You know, Trent Williams from the 49ers, Russell Okung with the Panthers, Ali Villanueva, the Pittsburgh Steelers left tackle, Ty Neschke from the Buffalo Bills, Cameron Bowles from the Denver Broncos has certainly had some of his ups and downs over the years. Same with Cedric Obuehi now with the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, there's some guys, but you kind of have to decide between the devil you know versus the devil you don't. If you can put up with Leno and Massey, it's not like it's a loaded class of potential free agents to maybe replace them. And that's just the guys that could be available, not even the guys, a lot of those, even those best options could still get re-signed, and then all of a sudden your tackle market looks really bleak and you may just feel a little bit more comfortable sticking with your guys one more year, knowing that there's going to be potentially some deficiency there, but there's always the NFL draft to add another young offensive lineman and try and build up that group as well. But you have other needs and only a limited range of draft picks. We'll take a look at where the Bears stand from a pick standpoint and how the needs are a little bit different for draft prospects as opposed to potential free agents next on Locked On Bears. I'm going through a little bit of withdrawal on Built Bars because I didn't plan ahead. I ran out of bars and I had to reorder some more, and I still have another day or two before they ship and arrive to me. And so this is the longest I've ever gone without a Built Bar in a day, because they're the world's best tasting protein bar, and it's really hard for me to only eat one each day. It's for me, it's like biting into a candy bar. The caramel brownie flavor, it's a Milky Way, but instead of being loaded up with a bunch of artificial sugar and junk that you don't need, Built Bars have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. And with 18 amazing flavors, you really can't go wrong. I've had almost every single one. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. It's going to be weird seeing the Chicago Bears with a first-round pick again. It like harkens back to the days after the Jay Cutler trade back in 2009, where they lost a couple of first-round picks in that one. And it was like when they started getting picks back in, like, was it 2009 or 2010 when they were in the first round again? It was weird to be back. And I think this offseason in the 2021 draft is going to be weird for a lot of reasons. But that one, too, of the Bears actually having a first-round pick to be determined where exactly in the first round. But given the 5 wins already on their schedule, we can pretty well know they're not going to be picking in the top 10. And also given where the rest of the NFC is in the playoff picture, they're probably not going to be picking in the bottom 10 either. Right? It feels like we're kind of in this, you know, 10 to 22 type draft range. I mean, unless something drastic and crazy happens, it's not that important, as long as we know the sort of the general range, because there's going to be a lot of talk about the Bears trying to draft another quarterback, trying to get a long-term answer at the position, as it appears almost certainly Nick Foles is not a long-term answer, and Mitch Trubisky, after 4 years, has not proven himself to be a long-term answer at the position. But the problem is, this is a strong quarterback class at the top, and the top is looking to be just outside of the Bears draft range. Now, I have not sat down and done any extensive work on any of these quarterback prospects yet, so I don't have individual opinions on just how good Trevor Lawrence is and just how good Justin Fields is and where Zach Wilson from BYU fits into that picture. But those guys, and throw in Trey Lance from North Dakota State, all projected at this point to be in that top 10, maybe top 15 range. And it's still really early and a lot can change. And maybe only two of those guys go early, but it's like Lawrence is projected number one and Fields is projected probably also top five. And then it's a question of how long our team is willing to wait for guys like Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. Because once you get past those four, it thins out pretty quickly. Like, I think we're seeing on the fringe there, Kyle Trask from Florida is one that may work his way up a little bit higher in this conversation. And then it really drops off from there. I mean, guys, you hear about maybe like Mac Jones from Alabama, although he's kind of your kind of typical average Alabama quarterback at this point. I mean, it's a tough group. I'm kind of curious about Derek King from Miami, but he's not going to be a first-round pick by any means, but just kind of a fun athletic quarterback guy. But even like some of those top guys, technically Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson are all juniors and could return. And Trey Lance is actually a redshirt sophomore who's eligible, but just he's expected to declare for the draft this year. Trask is actually the senior. That's probably the highest rated consensus quarterback right now. But all this is to say, if the Bears are picking 16, where they are right now, dead center in the first round, they're probably going to have to trade up to get one of the top surefire quarterbacks or wait and take a quarterback that maybe is a much more of a question mark. And we've had question marks at quarterback in Chicago for my entire lifetime and probably a lot of your entire lifetimes, if not everyone, every living person's entire lifetime at this point. So it becomes a challenge of like, okay, well, if you're not going to be able to get one of the top quarterbacks at 16, then do you draft an offensive tackle there and then wait into the second round? Because the Bears right now have a first, a second, a third, a fifth, and a sixth. They do not have a fourth round pick, having traded that during last year's draft to trade back into the fifth round to take outside linebacker Travis Gibson, who's been a healthy scratch for a large portion of this season, and losing out playing time to guys like James Vaughters. So you kind of have to isolate, okay, which needs are most important? I mean, again, you don't want to have to draft need in the draft per se. You want to be able to draft best player available, but I guess which positions do you want to prioritize getting younger players as opposed to veterans? Like, you're probably not going to sign a big, expensive veteran quarterback. If you could get a cheap veteran quarterback, you know, another Jameis Winston, Cam Newton type 1 year prove it deal, that's an option, but you're probably not going to sign Dak Prescott to a massive, massive contract given where they stand financially at this point. That's a conversation that will go on throughout the offseason, but let's make some assumptions right now. You would want to have a young offensive tackle for the future, but if you cut both Charles Leno and Bobby Massey, then you're going to need to find two day one starters, which a first round pick at tackle could be a day one starter, but you don't really want to have to go into draft day obviously needing to draft a day one starting offensive tackle. You want to have some sort of plan there in case the board doesn't fall that way and you don't feel like you have to reach just to take a tackle. Or if you let Allen Robinson go, are you comfortable with a Mooney Miller wide receiver core with Riley Ridley in there? Or do you want to draft another young one of those or maybe sign a veteran there? You know, Akeem Hicks isn't getting any younger. You could use another young defensive lineman. Your edge rusher group, Robert Quinn and Barcavis Mingo are both on the wrong side of 30, and Travis Gibson is your only young guy there. Khalil Mack's still in his prime, but you're only going to have so many years of prime Khalil Mack before eventually things may drop off there. So I could see a young edge rusher being a priority there. Eventually you need to replace Danny Trevathan at inside linebacker. You do need to replace Tashawn Gibson at safety. You could use even another young cornerback to add to the mix. So there's a lot of different places you could go. And I think a lot of it will depend on how this quarterback board falls out, not only in terms of how early other teams need to draft quarterbacks, but just how the NFL scouting community views all of these top quarterbacks in this draft. Because maybe you can get away with waiting into the teens and the 20s, and you still land Zach Wilson, and you feel really good about landing Zach Wilson. I mean, we've seen quality NFL quarterbacks last through to the end of the first round. After the first round, you really kind of it's a crapshoot from there. You have to kind of get lucky in terms of those quarterbacks panning out. But otherwise, some years teams just aren't as enamored with the prospects. I mean, think back to 2017. Patrick Mahomes went 10th. The Chiefs traded up quite a bit to go get him, but made it out of the top five. And Deshaun Watson a little bit after that at 12. It might not be unreasonable for the Bears to move somewhere from like 16 to 12 to get, you know, the third quarterback off the board, much like where Watson and Mahomes were in that range. So not all hope is lost for a first-round quarterback with the Bears. And then you could still get a quality offensive lineman in the second round, maybe get another defensive lineman or edge rusher in the third round to give you a little bit more young depth there. And you can kind of piece together a draft class there, but you're still going to want to generally try and go best player available and fill as many of those holes as you can with at least stop gaps in free agency to give you that flexibility. So like I said, it's a little bit hypothetical, it's a little bit big picture, but I think it kind of lays out where things are headed and where the Bears stand from a resource standpoint with a lot of potential needs coming up, a lot of difficult decisions, and limited salary cap space like everybody else with a reduced cap. And not that missing a fourth-round pick is a huge deal, but that just generally speaking, having one first, one second, and one third are pretty much your only opportunities to add day-one contributors that you can reasonably expect. I mean, Ryan Pace has found them in the fifth round, continues to find them in the fifth round, but that you can't bet on that every single year. You can't even bet on Ryan Pace being the at general manager picking in the draft up to this point. So it's going to be a fun offseason that I imagine will have a lot of built-in change, even if that change isn't at the head coach or general manager spot. And you can be sure we'll be keeping a close eye on everything going on 5 days a week right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you hit that subscribe button on whatever app you're listening on right now, because that's the best way to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Want to warn you in advance with Thanksgiving this week. Not planning on putting out a Thanksgiving podcast. I figure, I want to spend time with my family, and you'll probably be spending time with hopefully small groups of families only as we try and limit the COVID-19 spread. So even if I recorded a podcast, I'm not sure how many people would actually be listening to it on Thanksgiving. So we're going to skip Thursday this week, but we'll still do the Friday podcast, putting together a little bit of a game plan for trying to defeat the Green Bay Packers. And I'm planning at this point, instead of doing crossover Thursday, trying to do a crossover Wednesday podcast with Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers. But if the schedules line up poorly and we need to save that one for Friday instead, we're going to make it work one way or another. So it won't be your typical Thursday week with the Thanksgiving holiday. But don't worry, I'll still make sure you find a way to bear down.